Text is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. We read verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. This is God's word. Occasionally, my travels take me through the city of Las Vegas. And once when I was there, I was making my way from the airplane to the baggage claim, and I was standing on a moving sidewalk. When I came to the end of the moving sidewalk, there was a sign that said, "Watch your step." And just in front of that sign, there was another sign put up, this one by the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce, welcoming people to the city. And the juxtaposition of those two signs made an arresting statement. Welcome to Las Vegas. Watch your step. Pretty good advice. Maybe you've seen the recent Las Vegas ad campaign. What happens here stays here. The ads usually feature somebody who must have had an experience in Las Vegas that could turn out to be a little bit embarrassing, but don't worry, because what happens here stays here. If you face a temptation here, and you make the wrong choice, your indiscretion need not be known by anybody else. Boy, think about that. That you could find yourself in a position of temptation, or you could put yourself in a position of temptation and make the wrong choice, and nobody would know. And there would be no consequences to that. I admit there's a part of me that finds that idea very appealing. And maybe you think that way a little bit too. So maybe you can sympathize a bit with Simon Peter in our text for today. Because there is a temptation for Simon, and the outcome of it is already known by Jesus. And he says to Simon in the text, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. The Greek words behind the English words reveal the seriousness of that remark. It's as if Jesus said, Satan wants to have you. And he wants to shake you up in such a way that he's the one who gets to harvest your soul, which should be wheat that belongs to God himself. In Simon Peter, there was a very dangerous combination of personal characteristics. He tended to be overly self-confident and at the same time, very careless. He should have known better, because he had seen one of his own colleagues, a fellow by the name of Judas Iscariot, sifted away from the Savior. He had seen that Judas Iscariot had been pushed down the path toward the pit of physical and spiritual self-destruction. Simon should have watched his step. But instead, he thought to himself, won't happen to me. And before long, he found himself standing in the courtyard, warming his hands over a fire while Jesus was being interrogated. And somebody said to him, you were with Jesus. He said, I don't even know that guy. He was tempted, and he made the wrong choice. And then he heard the rooster crow. Well, you and I face all kinds of temptations. We face these situations where there are choices to be made. That's what a temptation is. Which picture should we allow our eyes to linger over? Which joke should we tell? Which friend should we travel with? Which emotion should we fuel in our hearts? Which direction should our feet turn when it's time for chapel at Bethany College? Someone said that different types of temptations appeal to us at different stages of our lives, and I think it might be true. Maybe it's true that when we're young, we're tempted to sins of passion. Think of sensuality and self-indulgence. And when we're middle-aged, maybe we're tempted to sins of ambition. Think of position and possessions. And when we're old, maybe we're tempted to sins of satisfaction. Think of pride, self-congratulations. Well, Peter was tempted, and he made the wrong choice. And sometimes you and I are tempted, and we make the wrong choice. And so it's good for us in the season of Lent to come to this particular text, because it really opens our eyes to our weakness and Christ's willingness. Our weakness and foolishness and sinfulness and Christ's willingness to intercede and to forgive and to restore. You notice that in the text Jesus said to Simon Peter, "I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail." Jesus does a lot of that sort of thing. He prays for his people. He protects us. He offered up a perfect, righteous, sinless life to God the Father so that God could cover over our sins with that righteousness, so that he could declare us to be not guilty in his eyes because Jesus, our representative, lived a perfect life on our behalf. And Jesus offered the blood that he shed on the cross to be a payment so there could be forgiveness of the sinful thoughts that race through our minds and the sinful words that dribble out of our lips and the sinful deeds that our hands want to be busy with. How wonderful it is that we have a Savior who came to forgive. Forgive our sins, to forgive those times when we have made the wrong choice, when we face temptations. And there's a lot of forgiveness in Christ, and it's distributed freely in the world. You get a picture of that when you see him hanging on the cross, surrounded by some of the people who had given in to their own baser instincts, and he says of them, "Father, forgive them." And this little text ends with a note of ringing encouragement. Jesus says to Simon Peter, "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." It's true that Jesus knew that Simon would face a test and flunk. He'd face a temptation, and he'd fail to make the right choice. But Jesus also knew that in spite of that temptation, Simon Peter's faith would be preserved. He knew that he would emerge on the other side of that temptation as a stronger Christian, one who was able to serve in the church, one who had learned a hard lesson and now become maybe a little more humble, maybe a little wiser for the experience, maybe able to understand what other people are going through when they face personal temptations. And can't the same be true about you and me? I think it can. Yes, God's been reading your diary. He knows all your secrets. He knows that you don't always watch your step. But He still loves you. He still forgives you. He's still with you every day of your life. He still promises He'll take you to be with Him in heaven. You see, God is still on our team. He still blesses us in the means of grace. He still strengthens us when we face our temptations. He still picks us up when we stumble and invites us to follow. Amen.